Hey everyone, and welcome to the House of Bounce podcast, your go-to place for a professional insight into the world of basketball, alongside players, coaches, and front office staff. I'm your host, Matt, and for this episode, I am joined by professional basketball player, Roger Mute Abidias. Roger is a younger brother of NBA veteran, Luke Mbaumute, and he has featured in the G League for the affiliate teams of the Toronto Raptors, Houston Rockets, and Golden State Warriors. And he's here today to speak to us about NBA Africa, his views on the newly formed league, J. Cole's involvement, and the growth of the game in the continent. You really don't want to miss this one, and let's jump straight into our conversation. So thank you for joining me. Do you want to start with a little bit of an introduction, like your name, who you are, what you do, where you're from, you know, just so our audience can get to know you a little bit?
Yeah, of course. My name is Roger Mute Abidias. I am a professional basketball player. I'm from Cameroon, the greatest country in Africa in the world. I've been playing basketball since the age of 14. I moved to the U.S. To play and go to school. And it's been an amazing journey while doing it. You know, I've traveled the world. I've traveled the country. I've met some amazing people. And you're catching me in the midst of my basketball journey.
Yeah, definitely. And so what we're going to do is we're going to jump straight into NBA Africa. That's the main reason why we're here, just to speak about that. So what is the significance of NBA Africa in your opinion? Do you view it as being a positive?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Anything that showcases Africa, anything that brings opportunities to the continent is an opportunity. And I think that this comes as no surprise. It's been in the works for a long time, and you saw something like this coming. The NBA started with the NBA Academy. Actually, they started with the Basketball Without Borders. A camp that, you know, there's actually a lot of Cameroonian guys that came out of it, amongst which my brother, for example, Luke Mbaumute. But you know, it went from there. Then it went from the NBA Academy. And then you started seeing the league that, you know, got put in the work. So I think it's amazing for the continent, man. It continues to show that, like, basketball is growing. There's amazing talent that comes from the continent, and you can see it in the last NBA draft. You can see it on NBA rosters, how many African players are African descent, not descent, but, you know, first generation or whatnot, are on rosters too. So I think it'll continue to grow. It'll continue to have more and more talented NBA players from Africa.
Yeah, so NBA Africa as a league, you think it provides more visibility and more opportunity from those coming from Africa then?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think so. It provides more visibility, more opportunity. But not only that, it would just also showcase the continent, because it's not just the court. It's not just limited to the court. You know, it showcases, it shows to the world, it shows to people that, you know, and the African continent has more to offer. You know, like, there's opportunities in Africa. Like, you can see the knock before was that, oh, like, there's certain things that you can't do in Africa because there's no, the infrastructure is not there, the, you know, everything else, the logistics aren't there and everything. But you can tell, you know, you can see the league and what happened. Like, they had a beautiful court, media coverages were amazing. Like, you know, like, the infrastructure is there. It shows you where the economics of some of these countries are.
Yeah. And what are your views on J. Cole being part of it all? Is that good for the visibility of the league? Is it not? It seems to be an area of controversy. Some people are with it, some people are not. Where do you sit on this?
Yeah. No, definitely it is an area of controversy. I've definitely heard both sides of it. I'm a big J. Cole fan. He's my favorite rapper. So I would be biased in a way. But looking at it on an unbiased way, I could see why some guys could be mad. Oh, like, he's taking somebody's roster. It's too easy for him and this and that. But at the same time, you know, that comes with it. You know, Michael Jordan went to play baseball, and, you know, I'm sure there were the same discussions and whatnot. But I think that J. Cole coming to the BAL league, you know, it's not like a random, random person. You know, he did play basketball. He walked on at Division I level. So I think that it's great for the league, man. It's great for the league. It's great for the culture. You know, obviously he did it when his album was coming out. The timing was perfect. But I think it's great for the culture, especially like early on like this. You know, it's good for the culture. It's good for the league. It served this purpose. You know, you had so many people like watching the league just because of him. You know, and a year from now, he won't be there. But those people, when they hear about the league, they'll still put an eye, you know what I mean? And I think that it's not, I wasn't there, but I don't think that he was there as a privileged guy or anything like that. You know, he, you know, seemed like he was there. He served, he went to practice. He was at the games like everybody else. He, you know, he played hard, played defense and trying to do his best. So, you know, there's guys out there. I'm sure there were guys like there that weren't as good as him or that were worse. You know what I mean? So, I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's a plus.
Yeah, so it sounds like we touched upon a hero of yours in rap music. Who are your African basketball heroes that you have looked up to and why?
Oh man, for me definitely it'll have to be my brother, Luke Mbamute. This is for sure the one. And obviously Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem Olajuwon first because he's probably in my top three favorite basketball player. I'd say top two. Yeah, top three. Top three favorite basketball player. And because he was just dominant. He was, you know, to me, one of the greatest of all time for everything that he did. His footwork was amazing, everything else. And so that's why, you know, he's up there for me. And then obviously my brother, you know, speaking here as just a regular fan, as just, you know, somebody who could see from afar, obviously because he made a feat that was extremely difficult. He was came from all the way to Cameroon to play in the NBA for 11 plus years, you know, as a starter for so many years. You know, had an impact not only on the court and not only pushing the game of basketball, but also like giving back and what he did in the continent, you know, bringing guys like me, bringing a bunch of other guys, not just the Joels, but there were many, many guys that, you know, he touched, and his impact on the continent was huge. So I'd have to say that he is definitely up there as the number one of those like basketball African heroes.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously in terms of them classic players, as we kind of rewind back in time, like Olajuwon, Mutombo, like Manute Bol, how accessible were they to watch outside of the US at that time?
Man, honestly, like I can't tell because I'm 26, so I was not even watching basketball at the time. But from what I know, like it was definitely not as accessible. You know, basketball wasn't even shown in the continent like that. I can only speak for Cameroon, but, you know, first of all, you got the time difference. And, you know, like back then, like our TV was only showing like a certain amount of channels. You know what I mean? So like you weren't watching like that many basketball games. Now I do remember like my dad, you know, always talking about like, oh, Magic Johnson and like Olajuwon and this and that. So, you know, they did have like a few glimpses of them and you know, probably had the opportunities to watch them, but I definitely don't think it was like as accessible as it is now, you know. Even like when I had this conversation recently, we were talking about it with my brother and some friends, like me growing up, like the US and like the NBA still seemed like so far away. Like it was like this whole other world, you know. And for my brother's generation, it was even further for them, you know, because they had to like sometimes wait for my dad to bring them like these tapes of like games and stuff to be able to watch them. So yeah, but I think now, you know, obviously they can watch it from in their backyard with the VAL.
Yeah, so it's actually interesting how you actually alluded to like the classic generation and like the more modern generation. Is it the classic generation or is it the more recent players like the Embiids, the Siakams, that's driving the current growth in the continent, do you think?
It's a good question. I think it's an aggregation of both, meaning that it started with the Mutombos, it started with Hakeem and all those guys. And, you know, then you had, and the Manute Balls, and they came in here and they made a big impact. I think they were the first African players to make a big impact. And from them, they were able to open doors for guys who are making solid impacts. Guys like my brother, guys like Ibaka and all these guys who weren't necessarily like superstars, but they were just in the league and they were players making an impact. And I think from then you moved on to the Joels, right? And now those guys came in and became superstars. So I think that, you know, it followed the path. Like the Hakeem and all those guys, they opened the door for, you know, a bunch of other African players to come in. And then once, you know, some of these guys got in, they were able to foster a Joel Embiid or a Pascal Siakam, those guys who came in and just like teared up the league. So it kind of just like, you know, flow or, you know, follow, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So it went from like one generation to the other, and the growth has been continuous throughout that period of time. And what about your specific journey? So did you look up to those historical players? Did you get into the sport like by yourself? Did you get into the sport because of them historical players? You know, how's it worked? How's your interest in the sport worked with the evolution of African basketball?
Yeah, I think that my journey like plays in part with all that, right? I think for me, the people that influenced me, and I think that's the same for the generation, like I'm same generation as Joel and, you know, Pascal's. And the people that influenced me are, you know, the Luke Mbamutes of the world, the Serge Ibakas, the Bismack Biyombos, and all those guys that the Luol Dangs, and a few I might forget. Those are the people that we watched, right? Those were the people that, like, you know, we were like, oh man, like, that's the NBA, right? And those are who we seek to be like. So for me, that's who influenced me. Those are the guys that I watched, and I was like, oh man, like, I want to be like him. And so that's how, you know, my interest in the game came about. And that's how my interest in like making it to the NBA started. It wasn't like the Hakeems and the Manute Balls and stuff. I found out about them after I started playing the game, after I started being interested. And I was like, oh yeah, you also had these guys, that guy. But you'd always hear the name, but you didn't really know what they did, because nobody, like, I'm playing soccer, nobody's out there like going to look up like Hakeem Olajuwon's videos and stuff. So yeah, that's kind of like how it happened for me.
Yeah, and obviously if you have the interest in the sport, obviously you want to go and play the sport. So how accessible is it to play the sport in Africa? Are there facilities, even if it's a simple outdoor court to play, or sometimes is it a case of improvising? Because we see that from time to time when videos go viral as well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a case of improvising, or it's definitely been a case for of improvising. You know, I can speak for Cameroon, you know, because some countries are a little bit more advanced than other. But, you know, at the time growing up for Cameroon, for example, we didn't have much, you know, like seeing a hardwood floor was like, man, that was a dream for us. You know, we didn't have any hardwood floor in the whole country. So like we played in obviously concrete floor, like what they'll call like outdoors and stuff. And like in my neighborhood, like the basketball court was the street. And what we did is we stuck a rim on a electric pole. And that's what the playground was. Like that's where everybody would come from the area and play and would have like runs, like actual runs, like to play. And that was like that in a lot of different places. But then we had like where we played, like the school tournaments or the club tournaments, wasn't the nicest facilities. I don't remember being in the locker room ever growing up and playing back home. But, you know, it was a court and it was rims, right? So that's what we had. And, you know, we dreamed about having hardwood floors and things like that. But now I think that now things are slowly changing. As I was leaving in the country, they built this big facility, this big sports facility with the hardwood floor, you know, stands and, you know, thousands of seatings and stuff. And I think it's growing. You know, you had guys, you know, like Luke, for example, he's built a few courts back home. And obviously you saw Rwanda, what they have, Senegal, they have some nice facility too. So it's slowly changing. It's slowly changing. And you can see that with the league coming in.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously we've hinted at it throughout, but Joel Embiid. So your brother Luke Mbamute had involvement in discovering him, didn't he? Did you know Embiid? You're similar ages, so were you kind of alongside him in that journey? You know, you're at the similar age, like the draft process, things like that. How did that work? Do you remember that? Were you alongside any of that?
Our timelines do match. Joel and I went to school together at Montverde. And Joel and I, we trained together. We're good friends. I wasn't necessarily there in the draft process and all that stuff. But definitely, I saw his growth. When he came in. We were, you know, playing JV basketball together. We both left Montverde after our junior year. And, you know, throughout that summer, we were together. We trained together. And, you know, we kind of like, you know, stayed in touch throughout that time. And I saw his journey from, you know, not having that many offers to going to play AAU and killing it and coming back and be like, oh man, like I'm getting all this attention. And he was slowly climbing in the high school ranks. And we were like, oh man, like, you know, until like he was going to Kansas. It was amazing to see. We didn't expect it to be that fast. I'm sure he didn't even expect it to be that fast. I remember a conversation with him. I think it was beginning of our freshman year. He was at Kansas. You know, he was talking about how like weights are difficult and, you know, he's been having a hard time with all these like guys, super physical. And he was like, man, like, but I do think that I have a chance. He was like, man, like, I feel like, you know, if I do well this season and like maybe next year, like, you know, I can like, you know, be a starter and then like, you know, like start like putting up some real numbers. And as the year went on, you know, we spoke again later on that year. And he was like, man, like, I think I can get drafted. And we were like, oh, wow. Like, you know, I hadn't been, you know, I was also a freshman, so I hadn't really been keeping up with him. I was like, oh, wow. Like, really? He was like, yeah, man. Like, I think, you know, I can get drafted. And, you know, the rest is history. You know, he puts his name. He was hesitating about putting his name out there in the draft, you know, rightfully so. But, you know, he ended up doing it. He ended up going to the draft. And, you know, even throughout pre-draft, you know, like he went, you know, he had a little, it was a whole, you know, journey too. So it was beautiful to watch him go through that, watch him experience, you know, the growth from when he first came in to pre-draft and getting drafted and stuff like that.
Yeah, and just for a little bit of context, what was the process of your brother discovering him? How did that come to fruition?
I wouldn't be able to tell you like details exactly because I wouldn't know exactly like what the process was, but I know that my brother was doing a camp. He would do a camp every year back home, but the camp was scout. Before the camp, he would scout throughout the country. He would go in all the different, we have regions. He would go in a lot of the regions. I don't know if all 10, but he would go to the regions and do, you know, selection tryouts and have all the best players come out and look at them. So I believe that, you know, that's how he chose. He saw Joel and chose him, brought him to the camp. And then from there, I believe he saw something in Joel and he picked him amongst the guys to go to Basketball Without Borders. That's a camp from the NBA. And from there, he brought him to the U.S. He brought him to Montverde. I do remember the coach, Kevin Boyle, at the time when I was at Montverde. He was like, hey, your brother's bringing this kid from Cameroon. I'm like, oh, shit, like, dope. Like, one more Cameroonian. Like, that's amazing. He's like, yeah. He was like, he said he's pretty good. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what's up. He's like, he said he's going to be better than him. I was like, and Kevin Boyle was like, I mean, he better be right. And, you know, obviously the story told, the history told. So, yeah, that's kind of how he brought him up here.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. And before we do move over, I do want to ask about like Pascal Siakam. Obviously, Cameroon's a very big place. And he, from what I can see, he's from a different part of Cameroon than yourself and your brother and Joel. Have you been aware of his talents coming up? If not, what do you think, what do you make of him now? You know, he didn't hit stardom straight away, but he's definitely impressing now.
Yeah, no. I got aware of Pascal himself when he was already at New Mexico State, because Pascal didn't, like, obviously he's from a different city, Douala. And he also didn't play in like the circuit, like the, not circuit, but the, you know, the little, where everybody played. He, you know, went to boarding school and then played there. From there, he came to the U.S. But I knew about Pascal's brothers, because Pascal's brothers also played, his three older brothers, they also came here and they played, I think all of them played Division I. One went to Vanderbilt and stuff. So I knew about his brothers. They were pretty good basketball players. So I found out about Pascal when he went to New Mexico State, and he was killing there. And we just heard, like, oh, there's this Cameroonian guy who's, like, averaging a double-double. So, oh, who is he? He's, like, Pascal Siakam. And from there, I started rooting for him, you know, like crazy. And, you know, obviously he gets drafted, goes to Toronto, goes in the G League, and he's MVP of the G League's final. And so slowly, I saw him, like, kind of rise, kind of grow. But we weren't sure, like, you know, nobody can say that, oh, we were expecting him to be, like, the star that he is today, you know. But I personally, like, had a feeling that Pascal would be in the NBA for a long time. You know, he just needed to have the right opportunity, because I thought that his game fit the NBA of today. So I'm extremely, like, happy for him. Like, I'm, like, the biggest, like, Pascal Siakam fan, to be honest. Me having played at 905 while Raptors 905 while he was in Toronto, it was cool to be able to kind of, like, be there and you know, see him, watch him from close and stuff like that. And the year after that, he kind of blew up. So I'm extremely happy for him, man. Shows what, you know, Cameroonian people can do. Don't never sleep on us.
So there we have it. That's our conversation with Roger Mutebidias. A huge thank you to Roger for taking the time to speak to us. I hope you all enjoyed listening, and thank you for tuning in. Make sure to drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow the show on all major podcast platforms. It really helps the show grow, and it gives you all more cool interviews to listen to. It really is a win-win. Check out and follow House of Bounce over on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Until next time.